Will you bow your heads with me, please? Father God, thank you for Sabbath. Thank you for the rest. Thank you for the family that we can be together with today. Thank you, Jesus, for being our elder brother, for loving us. We look up to you, Jesus. We want to be like you. Please help us, Lord, today to draw close to you, to allow you to be our Lord and our Savior today, tomorrow, forever. In your name I pray. Amen. So, from a young age, we are taught that Jesus loves us. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, you all know that song, right? Yes. And from a very young age, my goal, my motto in life was to be like Jesus. In fact, when I got to college, we were encouraged to come up with a life motto. What would my life motto be? Well, from a young age, I had always wanted to be like Jesus. So I wrote to be like Jesus as my motto. And since I was taking the theology class, they had us talk about the church we might have someday and what the mission statement would be for that church. And I thought to myself, well, that would be a good mission statement for a church too, wouldn't it? To be like Jesus. So I designed my own bulletin, okay, and put that, and I had to turn that in. And on my bulletin, I had on the top of the bulletin, to be like Jesus. I have to say I have not always accomplished that. But that is my goal, to be like Jesus. Through the years, I have actually had the opportunity to be in some plays, and there have been times when I have been the character in the play of Jesus. And so, is that what it means to be like Jesus? To play a character role in a play that, you know, Jim Caviezel did when in the Passion of the Christ? Was he the character of Jesus? Was he like Jesus in that play? Yeah, in a way he was, but that's not the goal that I wanted for my life. I had a wonderful experience when I was pastoring down in Hacienda Heights Church in Southern California. And my son, Josh, he was very little at the time. He was in the crater roll class. And in the crater roll class, you know how little kids tend to idolize adults? And I preached every Sabbath, and I was up in the podium, and he saw me up there, and they talked in Sabbath school, and they sang about Jesus loves me. And one day, little Jason Chow said, "Mommy," and Pastor Scott walked in, "Mommy, is that Jesus?" Seriously, okay. Is that Jesus? Now, I had no beard. But in his little mind, to him, since I was always up here talking, and of course he was told they were going to church to be with Jesus. When they came to church, he thought, I was Jesus, because he saw me every Sabbath, and I was Jesus. Is that what it means to be like Jesus? I would say there's a tall order to try and meet and be like Jesus, in the sense that our children, when they grow up, any adults that are here that have had children, your children idolize you and they look up to you. I imagine if you could think back far enough to the place where you were a child and you idolized mom or dad, in many respects, they were like God to you. Until the child gets old enough to know that mommy and daddy aren't God, now the pastor becomes God. And it's like, is that Jesus? And I can only imagine the conversation that took place, you know. But there was a quote by Ellen White in the book Christ's Object Lessons, page 69. This really is where I got my desire from to be like Jesus. Because, see, I want Jesus to come. How many want Jesus to come back? You want Jesus to come back? I mean, as Seventh-day Adventists, one of our tenets is the second coming of Jesus. Amen? I want Jesus to return so we can get out of this horrible world that we're in. All right? There's so much pain and suffering and disaster that's going on around us. You just have to turn the television on, read the paper. I don't listen to the radio. It's everywhere. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come to claim them as His own. I want to be like Jesus. Do you know why? So Jesus will come. Because when His character is reproduced in me, in you, in His people, Jesus will return. What is Jesus waiting for? How come He isn't here yet? Is it possible that He's waiting for us? And He's not going to come until we're ready for Him to come. The first coming, when Jesus came the first time and was born, that was predicted in the Bible, and there was a time. And it was a time. He came, ready or not, He came. But now, at the end of time, before Jesus comes the second time, there is no time prophecy associated with Jesus' second coming. Jesus is going to come when we're ready. When... is this in the Bible? Let's see. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Thank you, Caleb, Carter, and Jeremiah for reading or sharing our scripture today. Be imitators of God as little children. Little children want to imitate the adults in their lives. Do you know what famous saying? Imitation is the what? Sincerest form of flattery. So children, if you want to flatter your parents, imitate them. I find myself imitating my dad even though I don't want to. It's like I'm talking or saying something, I think, that sounds just like my dad. You ever done that, something like that? And you think back, that's what my mom would have done. That's what my dad would have done. Do you know, the more time we spend with somebody, the more we tend to take on their characteristics. Do you realize that those of us who are married, the longer we're married, the more we start to reflect and take on characteristics of the person we're married to? I find myself being more like my wife every day. I think that's a good thing. Now, I don't know about her becoming more like me, whether she thinks that's... I think we can benefit each other, can't we? All right, so, be imitators of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Follow in His steps. As a Christian, our goal is to be like Jesus. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be like Christ. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. Now, this quote that comes from Ellen White actually comes from a part of the Bible. Okay, when she said that thing about imitating the character of reflecting the character of Christ, it came from a place in Christ's Object Lessons where Jesus is talking about a parable. And I'd like you to invite you to open to Mark chapter 4 and verses 26 to 28. Jesus said these words. He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head." And the next part of that says that the husbandman comes and reaps when it's ripe, puts in the harvest. How many almond growers do we have here? Okay. Was there an almond harvest here lately? Yeah, you reap the harvest, right? Every year, not just almonds, all kinds of fruits and vegetables get harvested. It starts with a tiny seed. Now, if you're like me, lately, I like to grow things from seed, but lately, I've gotten lazy. I go down to Home Depot and I buy my lemon cucumbers already sprouted. And I bring them home and put them in the ground. Is that cheating? Well, from what Jesus is saying, the seed is sown and goes in the ground. And when my favorite vegetable to grow and watch grow are peas. You ever planted a pea? And when you plant that pea, how long does it usually take for the ground to part and to see something coming out? A week to 10 days? I keep going out to the garden and looking and saying, where are they? Where are they? Last year they never showed up. Okay, there's a problem here. I don't know what the problem was, but the peas never sprouted. And every other year they pop their little head out, and it's not, you see the ground move, and there's a little, you know, kind of a head sort of thing and a little stem, and it's like, boom. And the next day it pops out, and it's, boom, it's there. It's almost like magic. Do I make that seed grow? No. Now, I had to plant it, but I didn't make that seed grow. I have to water it. Got to make sure the ground is... Now, I did everything I could on my peas this last year, and it still didn't work. I don't know what the problem was, okay? I haven't figured it out yet. But so I went down and bought my lemon cucumbers, and this time I planted them, and out of four, I only had three that produced anything this year. So I think I need to plant something different and get my seeds growing. But in this parable, I want to ask you a question. Who in this parable is Jesus? Think about that right now. I want you to look at that and think to yourself, in this parable, you can read it in the Bible if you want to, but in this parable, where do you see Jesus? Jesus is the one that's saying it, but where do you see God? The kingdom of God is as if a man would scatter the seed on the ground. In your head, first you're going to probably think the man spreading the seed is God, right? Is the man spreading the seed God? I hear some yeses, I hear a few noes. All right, let's read the next part of it and see if it makes sense with what our understanding of God is. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he doesn't know how it grows. Does God not understand how the seed grows? God knows exact. In fact, what came first? The seed or the tree? What came first, the chicken or the egg? All right, so, Jess, you are correct, okay? From a creation point of view, God created the chicken, and the chicken made the egg. Okay, get that straight. The chicken came first, okay? That old, you know, question. The chicken, if you're a Christian, the chicken came first. Okay? If you're an evolutionist, the egg came first. Plain and simple. The chicken came first. Okay? That's the answer to the question. The chicken came first. You can go home and you've learned something new. The chicken came first. God made the chicken, and then the chicken laid the egg. And from that chicken, more chickens were produced. Did God make the seed for the redwood tree, or did he create the redwood tree? He created the tree, and the tree made the seed, and the seed now grows more redwood trees. Okay, what came first? The tree, not the seed. From an evolutionary perspective, the seed would come first, and then the tree would come from the seed. But from a Christian perspective, God made the trees, and from the trees came the seed. Okay, who made the corn? Did the corn come first or the seed come first? God made the corn. And from the corn came the seed. God understands how it works. He's the one who made it. God is not the one scattering the seed. So if God's not scattering the seed, who is? Raise your hand, please. You are scattering the seed, okay? Every one of us are the seed scatterers. Because I don't know about you, but when I plant a seed, I don't make that seed grow. God makes the seed grow, not me. All right? So, I don't even know how it grows. Now, yeah, there are scientists today that have studied all about how the seed grows and what happens and how, and they can actually, what do they call it, genetically modify things? Okay? I mean, it's amazing what is possible today. But they don't create the life. The original life comes from God. Yes, man can manipulate things, and we got all kinds of things, and it's probably not a good idea to eat some of these things, but hey, you know, there's all kinds of things that are out there today, but the earth yields the crops by itself. It's almost like magic. You plant a seed, make sure you water it, and it grows. All by itself. All by itself? How about you? Are you alive all by yourself? If it were not for God sustaining your life, my life, we would die. We would all be dead. The earth yields the crops by itself. It doesn't grow just all by itself. It looks like it grows by itself, but behind the scenes, there's a God that's keeping life going and growing. And what happens to a plant when it stops growing? It dies. What happens to you and me if we stop growing? Well, I don't know. Am I growing this way or this way? Okay. When we stop growing, we begin to die. In this world, because of sin, from the time we're born, we are on a journey of death. Physically in this world. But God promises that He's going to return and receive us unto Himself. He's going to come back and we're going to live forever. That was God's plan in the first place, for man and woman and His creation to be alive forever. Now, when this crop grows, is it perfect when it sprouts? Is that little pea perfect when it sprouts and gets that little stem up there? Is it perfect? Sure it is. When that little stem grows and now you have five leaves, is it still perfect? Yes. When it grows and now it has flowers on it and it produces more peas, and I love to eat raw peas. From the time I was a child, I would go out and just pick peas out of the garden and eat them fresh out of the garden. One of my favorite things to do is eat just raw peas. Okay? All along the way, it's perfect. As long as it continues to grow. What's that say about you and me? All along our life's journey, as long as we are growing, we are perfect in Jesus. It's not about getting to the place where we are somehow now perfectionistic, and I've arrived. Now, Jesus, you can come, because I'm perfectly reflecting your character. I somehow have arrived to that place. Do we arrive to that place, or is it a journey that we're on? I submit to you that it is a journey that we are on, and we can be at every stage perfect in Jesus. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want Jesus to come sooner? There's a text in the Bible that I want you to look at. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I know, you know, I put the text up here. And there's part of me that wishes I didn't have this PowerPoint. Do you know why? Because nobody's looking in their Bible. Okay? I like it when people open their Bibles and I actually hear the leaves turning and stuff going, okay? And so, in the past I've preached and, you know, it's like, okay, you had to have a Bible to follow along. It's up there and it's kind of like a little bit cheating, but I'm going to put it up there because I know not everybody has a Bible. So, It says here, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now I'm going to go forward one more slide. I took it out. Okay. But the day of the, let's go to the last part. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. It's right there in the Bible. You and I can do something to maybe speed up Jesus' second coming. Wouldn't you like to do something? I mean, if you're like me, I'd like to do something to make this terrible place we live in get out of here. Wouldn't you like to be out of this world? I know I would. It's not a fun place to live. Okay, there's lots of pain. And after Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey and Jose's coming and the fires that have happened here in the West, there's tragedy all around the world. Things are happening and it's a terrible place. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Let's go back there. The thief in the night. I understand that some of you in this room have actually had somebody steal something from you. How many have had somebody steal something from you? Okay? When a thief comes, does he announce himself? Here I am, I'm here to steal from you. No. The second coming, the day of the Lord, will come as a thief in the night. We're not going to necessarily know when it happens. We can be aware of what's going on around us, but when Jesus comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. Somebody's rumbling around in the kitchen. And you're sleeping and you wake up. What's going on? And you get up. Maybe you get your firearm. And you go and check out what's going on, right? It's important to protect ourselves, isn't it? So we are protecting ourselves, but we go check it out, right? And if you don't have a firearm, maybe you take a crowbar or something else and you think, maybe there's somebody around here messing with my stuff. I'm going to check things out. And maybe it's not inside the house. What if it's outside the house? Have you ever gone outside the house looking around at night thinking what's going on? Yeah, I've done it. And there's a little bit of fear in me thinking, what if, I once caught somebody rummaging through my garbage can in the middle of the night. It's just, it happens. Okay? Now, God cares for those people too. So I didn't get mad at him. I just told him, hey, it's my garbage. Leave my garbage alone. Well, you put it out on the street. Now it's my garbage because it's on the street. It's anybody's garbage, right? Anybody can come and get your garbage once you put it out on the street. It is true. Legally, anybody can come and look in your garbage can if you put the garbage can out on the street. Believe it or not, that garbage now belongs to anybody who wants to come along and take that garbage. Now, if the garbage is on your property, then it's your garbage and you can have it, okay? But once you put it out there, it's... All right, so point is, we're not going to know when he comes. The heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. I have an Aunt Marlene. She lives up in Washington State. Her husband was a pastor. He was one that inspired me to go into ministry. And so she's told me many times, Scott, don't get too attached to the things of this world, because it's all going to burn up someday. And isn't that true? Your money, it's going to burn up. Your house, it's going to burn up. Your car, it's going to burn up. Everything you own is going to burn up someday. It's all going to melt. Don't get too attached to it. Because if you do, you're going to burn up with it. I'm sorry to tell you. You maybe didn't know that. If you get too attached to your stuff, when that stuff burns, you'll be like Lot's wife. I can't let it go. It's not worth it to hang on to the stuff of this world. I want to be like Jesus. Oh. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? No man is to live unto himself. This goes back to Ellen White's writings in Christ's Object Lessons. The Christian is in the world as a representative of Christ for what? The salvation of souls. When you get to heaven, are you going to take your bank account with you? No. Are you going to take the boat with you? No. Are you going to take the vacation home with you? No. Are you going to take the home you live in with you? No. Praise the Lord. Recently, we were able to pay off our house. And now we are debt free. Okay? Dave Ramsey is wonderful. Follow his principles and you follow the baby steps. And one, baby step six is to pay off the house. And we have followed those steps. We took the financial peace seminar, about, 10 years ago. And since that time, we followed those principles. And Sherry and I, by God's grace, have been able to pay off the house. But that house is going to burn up someday. Don't get too attached to the things of this world. We are representatives of Christ and for what? The salvation of other souls. When you get to heaven, there are only two things you can take with you. One is your character. Yeah, you're stuck with yourself. God's not going to change your character when you get to heaven. He wants your character to change now. You don't wait to get to heaven for your character to change. This is the time and the place to pray and ask God, change me, Lord. I can't change myself. I don't know how I grow. All I know is that I depend on God and I pray and He helps me grow and keeps me alive. And I take one step at a time. Just like the seed that the sower planted or scattered, that seed doesn't know how it grows. Even the person who spread the seed doesn't know how it grows. When you give out your glow, you're planting a seed. Do you know how that seed's going to grow when you pass it out? No. We went over here to Walgreens last week and passed out a bunch of glows and put them on all the cars in the parking lot. Okay? Now, one of those might germinate and grow. How do we know? It might stay there for years. Maybe somebody takes it home. And one day, maybe somebody will open it up and there will be a seed. I don't know how it grows, but God does. And someday He will reap a harvest. Now, we can take our character to heaven. As long as our character is a reflection of Jesus. If your character is a reflection of this world, the people you see on TV, the politicians you pay attention to in the news, okay, the worldly things that are happening around us in recreation and sports, if you are like your favorite sports hero, that's not what Jesus is talking about when it says reflecting His character. When we reflect other characters, those characters will not go to heaven. It's true. I don't have a text on that one, but it was actually hinted at when David Tink was talking about what happened in Sabbath school today. Open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse... Well, do you want the good news or the bad news first? How many want the good news first? Okay, how many want the bad news? I got more bad news people than good news, okay? So we're going to go with the bad news first, okay? So, we're in Galatians chapter 5, and the bad news is this, okay? I want you to look at verse 21, the last part. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, if you read that, you probably want to look back at what are those things that will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right? We have things like jealousy and envy. You ever looked around you and wondered, I'd like that? Those thieves that stole from you, they had envy and jealousy in their heart. They wanted something that wasn't theirs. Selfish ambitions. You ever wanted to take over something or do something or get back at somebody? Dissensions. Ever have an argument with somebody and aren't willing to work it out? Now, yeah, if you look at this list, there's some really bad things too. But you know what? It's not just the bad, bad things. It's even the little bad things that won't inherit the kingdom of God. Let's read the list. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you're driving down the road, and you're on the freeway, and somebody comes in from the side, and you don't want to let them in. So you pull up next to the car and the truck right in front of you. I did it last night. Okay. I'm serious, okay? I did it. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to be preaching about this tomorrow. Maybe I should practice what I preach. So you know what I did? I stepped on the brake. And I said, come on in. Try it sometime. It's amazing what a little kindness does to your heart. Amazing what happens when you actually practice what God wants us to do. Amazing. You're sitting in the grocery line. It's happened to me more than once. I've got one item and I'm in a Costco. Now, how many people go to Costco and only get one item? Me, okay? I'll go to Costco and just get one item. My dad used to complain to me. I go there and I'm going there to get one thing and I come out with $500 worth of stuff. I don't know how that happens. But you go in there and you spend a lot more than... Okay, so God's given me a little bit of self-control. I can go in there and just buy one loaf of bread. We'll go through... Now, you got one thing in your hand. You know what the people in front of you do? You only got one item. Why don't you go ahead? There are good people out there. Do you know when that happens? You know who is encouraging them to do that? God is. That is what we're going to look at next, where it is the fruit of the Spirit, which comes after these things of the flesh. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. And you can just look at your own life and see what is the reflection in your life. Are you reflecting those things we've just read, or are you reflecting love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Against these things there is no law. That's the type of thing we need to be a reflection of. When it says we reflect the character of Christ, it's the fruit of the Spirit that needs to be reflected in our lives. Look at your life and find the fruit of your life. The fruit of your life is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. If you reflect more the things that came first, that bad news stuff, you're headed down on a road to perdition. You're on a highway to hell. Okay? But if you're reflecting the fruits of the Spirit, you're climbing the mountain step by step, because my selfish heart wants to do things my way instead of God's way. There can be no growth or fruitfulness in the life that is centered in self. If you have accepted Christ as a personal Savior, you are to forget yourself. Wow. And try to help others. Talk of the love of Christ. Tell of His goodness. Do every duty that presents itself. Carry the burden of souls upon your heart. And by every means in your power, seek to save the lost. I want to be more like that. How many of you have a prayer list? People you're praying for. You're reflecting what I just read. If you care about other people and you pray for them, you have them on your heart. How many of you have noticed what happened with Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma, and part of your heart reaches out to those people and you want to help them? You're reflecting the character of Jesus. How many of you, when somebody's hurting or in pain, you feel their pain? There's some people in this room that are more burden bearers than others. A burden bearer is when you feel somebody else's pain and you just can't let it go on. You have to do something about it. Jesus told a story about a good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite walked by on the other side of the road. They were able to ignore and somehow just put it out of their mind and say, it doesn't matter. He can take care of himself. And the good Samaritan comes along and says, let me help you, brother. And he bandages his wounds. He takes him. And then not only does he take him, what does he do with him? He puts him up in a hotel and he pays for the hotel. And then he tells the keeper of the hotel, hey, if he has any other bills, put them on my bill. I'll pay for it. That's what it means to reflect the character of Jesus. It's not about getting rid of the sin in our lives. God did that when Jesus died on the cross. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are saved because Jesus died for your sins. Reflecting the character of Jesus is loving people like Jesus loved them. How did Jesus love people? He healed them. He reached out to them. He listened to them. Even the little children came to Jesus. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others, you will grow and bring forth fruit. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, what does it say next? What is the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others. I do have a little thing here, don't I? Yeah. The graces of the Spirit will ripen in your character. Your faith will increase. Your convictions deepen. Your love be made perfect. More and more you will reflect the likeness of Christ in all that is pure and noble. I want to be more like Jesus. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. How many people are going to be in heaven because of your influence? You can take your character to heaven. What else can you take to heaven? The people that you have had an influence in their life. Who are those people? True success can be defined in a lot of different ways. But one way it can be defined is this. To have those closest to you love you and respect you the most. It matters more what my wife and my son think about me than it matters what you think about me. It matters more what God sees in my heart. You can't hide from God. He knows. You can hide it from me. You can even hide it from your closest friend. Even your husband or your wife. Children can hide from their parents. But you cannot hide from God. And in the end, the reflection of the character of Jesus comes from spending time with Jesus. Not just in church on Sabbath. Take him with you wherever you go. Let him be your constant companion. Ask him. He's sitting right here next to me. Should I let him in? What if I were wanting in? What would I do? What would I want? More and more, I'm beginning to let more and more people in. Even to the place where some people complain in my car. What are you letting them in for? They don't deserve to get in there. Maybe because I want to be more like Jesus. If every one of us began to act more like Jesus, he would come and take us home. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for your love for each one of us. Thank you, Jesus, for the example of your love. Your word says, no greater love has any man than to lay down his life for his friend. Everyone in this room, everybody that's going to be in heaven is there because of you, Jesus. You saved all of us. Your influence saves the world. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. We want a little part of it, Jesus. We want to have a little bit of influence in the people around us. Help us to have more love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and gentleness and self-control. Help us to have that fruit in our lives so that we can rightly represent you, Jesus. And someday, it will be soon, you will come because we reflect your character more and more in our lives. And when we perfectly reflect your character as your people, you've promised that you will come and take us home out of this world of pain and suffering and tragedy and just despair. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that by your power, not by might or by power, but by your Spirit, you will lead us to become a reflection of your character. In your name we pray.